This is Fair Issues on the Mormon Faircast. This week's article is entitled Loose Control Translation Theory and Joseph's Language. While there are interesting evidences for a tight control over the Book of Mormon translation, there are also evidences and logical reasons to assume a loose control. Here are a few things to consider. When Oliver Cowdery made a failed attempt at translating, he was told he failed because he did not study it out in his own mind. Doctrine and Covenants, section 9, verse 8. The Lord told Joseph that revelation came according to not only the recipient's language, but also in the weakness of their language. Doctrine and Covenants, section 1, verse 24. As pointed out in a previous article, a word-for-word translation from one language to another would result in a mess that would be difficult to understand. Those who favor a loose translation, and it must be remembered that a number of members believe that both processes could have been used at different points in the translation, believe Joseph received spiritual impressions and then had to formulate the most appropriate English expressions to convey those impressions. Once Joseph found expressions that were sufficiently accurate, the English words would have appeared in his mind, or as he saw it, in the seer stone. Elder John A. Witzo believed that Joseph, as a translator, would have first perceived thoughts and then would have attempted to reproduce those thoughts correctly with every inflection of meaning in the best words at his command. This makes it unavoidable that much of the translator himself remains in his translation. Gospel Interpretations, 1947. Elsewhere he wrote, "The language of the English Book of Mormon is to a large degree the language of the prophet as used in his everyday conversation on religious subjects. But brightened, illuminated, and dignified by the inspiration which he worked." Joseph Smith, Seeker of Truth, 1951, page 42. Likewise, Orson Pratt, a contemporary and friend of Joseph's, claimed the prophet received the ideas from God, but clothed those ideas with such words as came to his mind. Ensign, December 1984, page 34. There are at least three important points to consider if Joseph utilized his own language to convey spiritual impressions. Many of the words and expressions in the Book of Mormon came from Joseph's day. The Book of Mormon translation was, and is open to modification to more accurately convey the intent of the original text. Some of the translated text may have not been on the plates, but reflect Joseph's divinely inspired attempt to teach the spiritual truths that were contained on the plates. In this issue, I'll deal with the first of these points. If we assume a loose translation, Joseph unavoidably would have used expressions, terms, and words from his own culture and vernacular. Critics, for example, has often cried foul because the Book of Mormon includes the French words adieu. According to his critics, this means the Nephites must have spoken French. Among the many silly anti-Mormon arguments, this has been one of the silliest. The word adieu was part of the common vocabulary in Joseph's day. While the word is certainly French, it had become part of the English language many decades before Joseph translated the plates. Similarly, the word ghost, which comes from the German Geist, is part of the English language. Yet we don't accuse King James translators with deceit because he included the term Holy Ghost in the Bible, although the New Testament people didn't speak German. English, like all languages, appropriates words from other languages that eventually become part of it. The same can be said for phrases and expressions. Joseph's job was to convey the intent of the Nephite scripture. In the loose translation theory, He accomplished this by using the words at his disposal. It should come as no surprise or scandal to discover that Joseph used words and phrases, even religious phrases, from his Protestant environment to convey those ideas. 19th century phrases might seem out of place if we tried to force those phrases on the original culture. For example, we know that Joseph's scriptural language would have been the King James language of his day. Keeping in harmony with this scriptural vernacular Joseph, either on his own or by divine direction, utilized King James language and expressions. In 3 Nephi, chapter 14, verse 7, for example, when Jesus tells the Nephites that if they knock, it shall be opened, the verse is translated according to the King James understanding of similar New Testament passages. It is unlikely the Nephites, as ancient Americans, have doors that could be knocked upon. The intent of the scripture, that God will answer the prayers of the righteous, was translated in a language that made sense to Joseph Smith and his audience. If you like this podcast, you can help promote it by subscribing to it in iTunes or by rating it and writing a review. Post a link on your blog and Facebook page and tell your friends about us. Questions or comments about this episode can be sent to podcast@fairlds.org or join the conversation at fairblog.org. Michael Ash is the author of the book, Shaken Faith Syndrome, Strengthening One's Testimony in the Face of Criticism and Doubt, as well as the book, Of Faith and Reason, 80 Evidences Supporting the Prophet Joseph Smith. Both books are available for purchase online through the Fair Bookstore. Music for this episode was provided courtesy of Lawrence Green. The opinions expressed in this podcast are not necessarily the views of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints or that of Fair Mormon.